This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. If you have suggestions, comments, or story tips, we'd love to hear from you. Email news@kvnf.org or call 866-KVNF-NOW. Governor Jared Polis says he will seek more federal aid for Colorado when he meets with President Trump at the White House on May 13th. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
Polis has been critical of the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus crisis, saying they have been slow to send testing and health supplies. During the hour-long meeting, Polis says he wants the president to hear about the struggles Coloradans are facing from the pandemic.
The fear, the anxiety, the health condition, the economic challenges that the people of the country face, I hope to help bring those to him.
Earlier this week, Polis and the governors from four other western states sent Congress a letter seeking $1 trillion in federal aid to help deal with the economic fallout from the virus. Colorado lawmakers are preparing to cut $3.3 billion from next year's spending plan. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The U.S. could need as many as 300,000 contact tracers to help fight COVID-19. And as the Mountain West News Bureau's Ray Ellen Bichelle reports, these new jobs could be an opportunity for some of the millions of Americans who've been laid off or furloughed. Also, stay tuned to KVNF for another story coming soon about contact tracing specifically in Delta, Montrose, and Mesa counties.
Tare Kipuban manages the contact tracing operation for Salt Lake County in Utah. She says there's an art to cold calling people about scary diseases.
I just like to get to know them first, but not to spend too much time because I may lose their time and attention.
In the past, she's called people to tell them they may have been exposed to HIV, measles, Ebola. She's a pro at diving quickly into personal territory. Not just what did you eat for breakfast kind of personal, but who do you have sex with kind of personal. For COVID-19, what she primarily needs is a person's memory.
Sometimes we ask them to pull out a calendar, credit card history, bank statements, things like that to help jog their memory.
Like, when did they start having symptoms? Where have they been recently? Who have they seen? Then it's time to call the people they were in contact with, ASAP, to warn them, give instructions, and ask about their contacts. It's a delicate operation. You have to build trust with total strangers, do it quickly. And you have to be very direct. The stakes are high. Kipuban says if contact tracing is done well,
we can conquer this. We can stop the spread of COVID-19 and we can reopen America again.
Kipuban is a public health nurse by background, but she says you don't need lots of experience or even a health background to do a good job.
There might be various learning curves for everybody, but I think that anybody can do it.
Public health experts seem to agree with her. People like Lisa M. Lee.
It is a challenging job, but we can train lay people to do this, and we should.
Lee is an epidemiologist and bioethicist with Virginia Tech, but she got her start years ago as a contact tracer in Colorado.
And it was, I must say, the most humbling work of my career.
Lee says a good contact tracer should be curious, have a desire to help.
And really importantly, is a person who can exercise good communication skills using empathy.
They have to honor confidentiality and use basic software to keep track of the information they're getting.
There are many people right now who are out of work whose skills would be very transferable into something like this.
The Association of State and Territorial Health Officials agrees. The organization recently released a free online course in how to do contact tracing. Marcus Plesha is their chief medical officer, and he says it isn't just that states could train lay people to do this job. It's critical.
This isn't something we're going to put into place in a year. This is something we need to put to place in the next few weeks, or at least by the summer.
There's talk of smartphone apps in development that could do a sort of automated version of contact tracing. But Plesha says even if those work swimmingly,
there is going to be a lot of need for human-to-human contact. We're going to need to hire a lot of people to do a lot of this work because that's just going to be the nature of it.
Researchers with George Washington University estimate the Mountain West collectively needs more than 6,000 contact tracers, about half of them in Colorado. That state recently hired a couple dozen epidemiologists for the job, for a total of about 50 now. Add in contact tracers at the county and city level, and in early May, the state was still a couple thousand short, at least. Plesha and his colleagues are encouraging health officials to get creative about where to find more contact tracers. Why not bring on university students or school teachers, especially over the summer, he says.
I mean, another interesting group I've heard about is the YMCAs that are in every community. A lot of them have been furloughed because of the stay-at-home orders. So those are the kinds of places that a state could go. And
bottom line, he says, it's urgent to get new people on board, and lots of them. California is one of just a handful of states that's on track to hire enough contact tracers, and they're doing it in interesting ways. For example, this month, San Francisco's contact tracers welcomed about 20 of the city's librarians to the team. Jessica Jaramillo is one of them.
I kind of jumped at the opportunity to do this because it's hard for me to think of a better use of my skills in this moment.
She went through about 20 hours of training and started making calls in early May.
My favorite part of my job is interacting with people and giving them something that they want and need.
And contact tracing is no different. It's just that instead of helping people find a book, she's helping them get things like COVID-19 tests or grocery delivery for quarantine. Now, other locations are recruiting librarians too, including Denver. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Raelyn Bichelle.
As the weather gets warmer and drier, the risk of dangerous wildfires increases in the Western Slopes forests. Across the state, more than half of residents live in the wildland-urban interface, which means their homes are close to forested areas and hence more susceptible to fire. The Colorado State Forest Service has a new app that can help those landowners. The Wildfire Risk Viewer allows landowners to zero in on their properties, determine if they're in an area that's at high risk, and figure out what they could do to reduce their risk of wildfire. Amanda West Fordham, Manager of Science Information for the Colorado State Forest Service, told KVNF more about the Wildfire Risk Viewer.
Our Wildfire Risk Viewer provides a really nice interface where you can look at a specific location and evaluate what wildfire risk is applicable to that area. Those data are really useful for wildfire risk reduction efforts.
For homeowners who determine they are in an area at high risk of wildfire, the State Forest Service has resources to help them reduce that risk.
Some of those resources can be found on the Colorado State Forest Service website for wildfire mitigation. So if you just go to our webpage at csfs.colostate.edu and search for wildfire mitigation, you can find a lot of those resources to help understand how to reduce risk in a given area. We are in the process of developing additional applications that will be launched in the future. One of the ones that we're planning to launch later this year will be the Forest Action Plan, and that will have a lot of really useful statewide natural resource data and information looking at watershed protection, forest conditions.
To use the Wildfire Risk Viewer, go to the website coloradoforestatlas.org. And that was the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.